is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today, because if you are a regular listener, you know that we have these great conversations with people who have such wonderful and important information to help guide us. This show is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. For those who may be listening for the first time, welcome, and please go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. My Facebook page is also the same name, What Women Must Know, because I send the archived versions of all these radio shows out to everyone. And if you go to my website, What Women Must Know, you also have some special reports that will be sent to you, and I will keep you abreast of all the various information that I send out on a regular basis. So that's a great place to just continue the process of getting educated and empowered with great information. So let's talk about our topic of the day. I just want to share with you a new study that has come out very recently that I think you'll find of interest. So this is a study that came out from Rutgers University. And researchers there recruited over 4,000 Afro-American and Caucasian women, both with and without breast cancer, who were aged between 20 and 75, to explore a possible link between certain hair care products and the risk of developing breast cancer. The study's authors examined established probable breast cancer risk factors like family and personal health history, hormone use, and lifestyle. They were particularly interested in the women's use of specific hair products, such as chemical straighteners, relaxers, hair dyes, and conditioning treatments containing cholesterol and placenta. They discovered this. They discovered that dark brown and black hair dyes were associated with a 51% increased risk of developing breast cancer among Afro-American women and a 72% increased risk of estrogen receptor positive breast cancer among Afro-Americans. The researchers also found the use of chemical relaxers and straighteners was associated with a 74% increased risk among Caucasians, with some differences in breast cancer risk observed by estrogen receptor status. And according to the National Cancer Institute, there are over 5,000 different chemicals used in hair dyes, some of which are reported to be carcinogenic. And an estimated one-third of women over the age of 18 use some type of hair dye. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about what we are doing when it comes to hair products, the risks, the dangers. We're going to talk about solutions, but it may not be a topic that you've ever really seriously thought about. And because so many women are using hair dyes and a variety of products, including, by the way, hairspray, which happens to have lots of dangerous chemicals in it, we are really being exposed on a regular basis to some very toxic ingredients. So as we are learning to reduce the burden of our chemical exposure, this is another area that we really need to be aware of. And we need to be able to know what the safe options are and to start using them. So to help us navigate through this world of the many health risks from our hair care products, I have with me today Pierce Sousa, and he is a veteran marketing specialist, an entrepreneur with a unique combination of corporate new product development marketing experience and a deep knowledge of the natural products industry. After holding executive positions with Ogilvy and Mather Advertising, as well as the Citibank Consumer Bank Division, Pierce entered natural products industry in 1994, working with his father-in-law, Paul Ross, in a company he founded, Apkit. They subsequently founded BioForce USA, which today is dedicated to the development of European natural product brands. BioForce USA markets and sells some of Europe's most highly regarded brands, including Herbitint, hair color, Anne-Marie Borland Skincare, A. Vogel Herbal Remedies, and Herbal Sea Salt, as well as other important brands. These brands share common attributes around agricultural and environmental sustainability, fair trade, clinical substantiation of safety and efficacy, and good governance. So Pierce is the guy to help us understand what is really going on and to find the best solution. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Pierce Sousa to the show today. Hello, Pierce.
Well, hello, Dr. Selman. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, you've had an interesting journey in your career over the years that has landed you right here in one of the most important and I think profound industry for really helping to make a difference in people's health and well-being. Huh?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we're honored to be a part of this industry and have been for quite a few years. Our family became involved in the business in the 1970s, and I was fortunate to be asked to come in and join the family business in the 1990s. And since then, we've been spending a lot of time working with some really fine European companies that have all those attributes that you mentioned in the in your very gracious introduction of me, and the Herbitin hair color brand is certainly one that we feel is extremely important and addresses some significant and important health issues as well.
So, do you find European companies are much more conscious and conscientious about health and toxic-free ingredients and sustainability in general? Would you say that's to be true, or just like here, there are certain companies that put more of a focus and more of a value system on that?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. Certainly, there are some very fine, caring companies in the United States that do very good work. I think the difference really has, quite honestly, a lot to do with both the culture and the regulatory environment, which are intertwined. In Europe, there's an expectation that your products are going to be manufactured at a certain level of quality, and that the government is going to ensure that that's the case. And so you generally, with the European companies, for example, if you're looking at an herbal product, typically those companies are evaluated and looked at in the same way as a pharmaceutical company. Whereas here in the United States, companies that are producing those types of products, the government does not require them to have the same standards of manufacturing. So, you know, on the one hand, I think culturally the Europeans are very sensitive to issues around sort of those environmental standards, producing products that are safe, proving the efficacy of those products. I mean, those are all sort of embedded in sort of the day-to-day work that companies do in Europe. In the United States, you kind of have to, you have to work at it if you're going to go down that path.
So I want to say that many years ago, I mentioned this to you earlier before the show, I was at one of the Natural Products Expo events that happens every year in Anaheim, and wandering through the many booths, I happened upon the Herbitin booth there, and I was shocked actually to discover how dangerous these commercial hair dyes are. I had no idea that they were so dangerous. So let's talk about what are the risks from using these commercial-based hair dyes, and which ones are really the most dangerous. In the study I quoted, they were talking about the black and the dark hair color dyes. I mean, I use Herbitin, and I use a dark brown color on my hair, I have to admit. In full disclosure, I do that. But let's talk about what some of the known problems and risks are associated from these hair dyes.
Well, there are a number. Why don't we sort of start with this dark hair color topic, because that seems to be an important one. It's the subject of quite a few studies. I think some of the earlier studies that were done on that were somewhat inconclusive. But the more recent study out of Rutgers is of a much larger scale, and was able to show with really a good methodology some of the statistical significance around using these much darker hair colors. But a lot of that has to do with how that product is made and the ingredients that are used in that product. So just to be clear, all of the hair color products, whether they're in that natural category, such as Herbatint, or you're using a conventional, you know, drugstore brand from one of the big packaged goods companies, they all use an ingredient called PPD, which is the coloring agent that is imparted into the hair when you apply hair color. The question is, how much of that do you really need to use in order to be effective? And, you know, as we probably all know, an ingredient that could be perfectly healthy for you at a very low level can be extremely toxic at a very high level. So one of the things that Herbatint did early on was, you know, they said, okay, we understand that, you know, we can use a lot of these sort of organic herbs to enhance the hair color but we still need to use the PPD in order to impart color. How can we formulate a product so that it uses the least possible amount of PPD? Because if we do that, we know we can produce a very safe and non-irritating hair dye. So, you know, that was really the genesis of the Herbatint hair color. That was sort of the, you know, the aha moment that the founder had when he was able to create the formulation that enabled the hair to be colored even with darker colors, but without using a significant amount of that PPD. So that was sort of one of the first sort of realizations that he had something that was going to be safe and effective. But that's not the only.
Wait, Pierce. I just want to ask Pierce, what does PPD stand for? What is that what's the name of that chemical? And is it listed in most hair products?
Yes, you will see it in virtually every single hair color product, and it's a product called fenphenylthiamine, right? And so, you know, that's the color that gets used every time you actually need to go in and try to find a color that is for the ingredient that gets your color imparted into the hair.
So that's important because if people, well, I think after our conversation, no one's going to want to go to the Clairol and all those other many, you know, products that you find in the drugstore or Target or places like that. But it's always good to know and look at those ingredients and see that they actually are there. You know, they are present in all these commercial products. Because I think we get a little kind of lax in the choices we make, and we need the understanding. The other thing, before we go much further, let's talk about why putting a dye on your hair and your scalp is so, based on that Rutgers study, and actually the National Cancer Institute, why a hair dye going on your scalp becomes a potential carcinogen? Can you just explain the process that when you put it on your scalp, what's going on with that exposure to your scalp?
Sure. So there are a couple of things happening there, if you were to go into a salon, you know, you would see that they use a mix of color and a brush, and the use of that brush prevents a lot of that color from actually going on the scalp, right? And so with Herbatint, that's one of the unique features of Herbatint. It's applied in that same way with a bowl and a brush. Now, why do you want to try to keep that that color away from your scalp? Well, the scalp is, you know, it's your skin, it's an organ, and it will absorb whatever you put on it, if allowed, into the bloodstream. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, you want to try to keep the hair color somewhat away from the scalp. That's not entirely, you know, 100% possible, but the less, the better. The other thing is that depending on how the product is formulated, a lot of companies will use alcohol as one of the ingredients in the hair color. And the reason for that is alcohol is an absorbing agent. It helps with the absorption of the color into the hair shaft. The thing about alcohol, however, is there are two issues. Number one, it's drying, so your experience with that hair color may not necessarily be that terrific. But also, as an absorbing agent, it actually will expedite the absorption of those ingredients into the scalp. So you want to make sure that if you look at a product and you're thinking, you know, how can I avoid the absorption of this color, you know, into my bloodstream, how you apply the color is important. And the ingredients that are in the product, you want to make sure you don't have big absorbing agents like alcohol in the product as well.
Yeah, because when you think about it, it's sitting on your head for at least 30 minutes. And then you go in the shower and you rinse it off under hot water. So that's opening up those pores and you're exposed to those chemicals as you're rinsing, but it's still there on your head, you know, in your hair until it's thoroughly rinsed off. So there's all this exposure. And sometimes people kind of let, you know, some of that coloring drip. It's been my experience. And,
yep,
or it can show
true.
Up on your face, right, or other parts of your body. So therefore, those chemicals are being absorbed right through the skin if you kind of let it, you know, kind of drip onto areas of your face or on your body.
Yeah, that is, you know, that is true, and it's another reason why the use of a brush to apply the color as opposed to sort of squirt bottles that you kind of rub all over your hair and your scalp is generally a better way to go, because you can still get right down to the roots without spilling a whole large amount of color on top of your scalp.
Well, you know, that's a new piece of information for me, because I use a squirt bottle. So you're saying get a brush? You need to purchase a brush to do that? It's like, or a little basting brush that's, you can use?
Yep. Generally, the best way to do that, I mean, if you're using Herbatin as an example, we have little application kits that get sold along with the hair color. It's a nominal charge, or you can go to a Sally Beauty or one of those places, and for drugstore, and for a dollar or two, grab a brush. And of course, everybody has some kind of a bowl around the house they can use for mixing the color and dabbing the brush in the bowl filled with the color.
Well, you know, that's a really important distinction, so thanks for that. I wasn't aware that it really makes a difference. If you use a brush, you're not having that direct contact to the scalp as if you were applying it through, you know, a bottle of some sort. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good to know. I will definitely go out and get my little brush. So, okay, so we're talking about what other chemicals or toxic ingredients there may be found in commercial hair coloring, especially the darker coloring, which requires different chemicals, right, than lighter colors for blondes or redheads.
Yeah, so I'd say the sort of the last ingredient that one needs to think about is hydrogen peroxide. The hydrogen peroxide is a necessary ingredient to help open up the hair shaft and allow the color molecules to go into the hair shaft. So the question becomes, you know, can you generate an effective color treatment using an extremely low level of peroxide? And the answer to that question is yes, with the right formulation. It's one of the things that is another hallmark of the Herbatint hair color. And the thing to keep in mind about that is if you currently have very dark hair and you want to be blonde, Herbatin is not the product that's going to do that for you, right? If you really need a significant amount of peroxide in order to lighten up the hair to the point where you can go more blonde if you have dark hair. Generally, with Herbatin, you're able to kind of move one or two shades in either direction from your natural color. And the reason is that we simply don't use enough peroxide in the product to move your color any more significantly in that direction. So that's one of the ways we are able to keep the level of toxicity quite low in Herbitant and prevent any of the sensitizing issues that come with the use of heavy peroxide.
So when you talk about black or dark brown coloring, there are certain chemicals in those particular hair dyes not found in the lighter shades that are associated with being more carcinogenic.
They're essentially the same, that PPD, it's just the level and amount that you use. You're using a much lower level for the blonde colors than you are for the dark colors.
Oh, I see. Okay. And the fact that they seem to have an impact on hormones, especially for estrogen receptor types of cancers. Do you know anything more about how that chemical is impacting people hormonally, the PPD?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that comes into play or what specific ingredients or reaction creates that. I do know that in the study, they were able to collect some information about sort of reproductive history and hormone use, and I know that they found that there was some kind of interference there. I'm not sure from the study, if I recall, and I don't know if you do, if they were able to link that hormonal interference with a specific ingredient or a specific level of ingredient.
No, I didn't know. I didn't look at the ingredients, but it was just overall they were looking at that impact from some the commercial-based hair coloring. So,
I think that one of the implications they had from that study, and this is not an uncommon conclusion from any number of these studies, is that there was enough of a linkage established that they felt that further studies would be warranted, and perhaps those further studies could find a specific link or cause and effect on the hormonal side.
Right. Well, I think it's pretty important that everyone listening understand that you don't want to be buying any of those commercial hair colorings. It's just not safe to be using. What about when we talk about the Herbitin product, has this been studied for sensitivity, especially for people who may have scalp issues or just sensitive skin? Has it been proven to be safe for people
there are a couple of studies that have been done both by sort of independent third parties. One we knew about and one we didn't know about until after it was published. So the one that we knew about was a study that was done specifically on our product with people who had self-identified as having sensitive skin. And so, of course, we all know that hair color can be irritating, and it's important if you're going to use hair color that you do a little test before you put the hair color all over your hair. You probably should be doing some kind of a patch test to make sure you don't react, because different people react to different hair colors in different ways. And it's probably also important to do a little bit of a strand test to make sure, especially the first time you're using a color, to make sure that the result is going to be what you expect. We tested this on people who had sensitive skin. It was done by an independent third party, and they had never, in all of the testing that they had ever done, seen any hair color produced the kind of positive results that Herbitin produced. They had a large number of people in the study, and not a single one had any reaction, and that had never happened with anything that they had tested before. So we were very excited about that result. But the one that was very interesting was there's a French company that is essentially the Consumer Reports of France. And they will do there what our consumer reports here in the U.S. do, which is unannounced. They'll go in and they'll test a bunch of different products, whether it's electronics or peanut butter or hair color. And in this particular case, this organization, which is called 60 Million Consumers, did a study on 18 different hair colors, and some of you know, about 15 of them were on the conventional side, so your traditional drugstore type brands, and then there were three of the sort of supposed natural brands, the brands that were positioning themselves as being natural that were tested, and of all of those 18, only Herbatint was rated both safe and effective. And it got the number one safety rating, and it was one of the most effective hair colors as well. So we were really pleased that we were the number one rated hair color by the French version of Consumer Reports and out of the 18 hair colors that were tested. So those are sort of two circumstances under which we had independent third-party testing done on the Herbatint brand. One for sort of that sensitivity issue, and then the other for safety and efficacy.
Well, you must have been very pleased, or at least the company must have been really thrilled that they were proven to be so safe and effective.
Yeah, no, that was terrific. We were very pleased with those, you know, with those results. And of course, the French Consumer Reports one was the real winner, because that was an unsolicited, complete and total pleasant surprise.
Right. So can you give us a little bit of the history of this company? And I'm not even sure where it originates from, Pierce, so tell us a little bit about it.
So, there's an old family tale on that there was a formula that had been created for a former Italian royal family, and it was a hidden secret for a number of years. But we have a feeling that maybe that's just a little bit of they were trying to have some fun and create an interesting story. The real story is that a gentleman named Michael Albergo, back in the late 60s, was working on trying to create a safe formulation for hair color. He had some members of his family who had sensitivity, and he was looking to. And he was a chemist by trade, and so he was able to come up with this very unique and special formulation, and it was introduced formally in 1970. And the product remained in the family, and was subsequently run by Mr. Albergo's daughter Caterina, and her husband Giuseppe, and they continued to own the company, and they had nobody that could inherit the business from them. So as they approached 80 years of age, they decided they wanted to make sure that the Herbatint legacy could continue, and they had a wonderful partner in France that they had worked with for many years, and they felt that if they entrusted the brand to that family, the Foulon family in France, that they would be able to ensure the ongoing legacy of the brand. And so about 5 years ago, Herbatint became a part of the Foulon family, but one of the things that's interesting about that is that they made a couple of very important commitments. One was that the company would always remain in Italy, in Rome, and that they would continue to employ the people who had been working for the company for many, many years. And that was really important to Caterina and Giuseppe, and certainly the employees who work for Herbatint are really appreciative of the new ownership, and it's just been really a wonderful transition. And it's the kind of transition that, quite honestly, in the corporate world these days, doesn't happen often enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's maintained the integrity of the product.
It's maintained the integrity of the product. It's maintained the commitment to the people who work for the company. It's a commitment to the community and the local community that in which the company has been operating for decades. It really speaks to the heart of the of the company and how much the company cares about its community, about the people who work for the company, about the environment, all of the things that, again, going back to your wonderful introduction, are really important attributes for all of the brands that we represent here at BioForce USA.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's good. Always good to know the history. I like knowing the history and the background of companies to see where they've come from. And they've been around for a while, so that says a lot. Who do you think would benefit the most from using a product like Herbatint?
Well, so I think, first of all, anybody who colors their hair really should be giving serious consideration to, you know, whether they do it at a salon or do it themselves at home, needs to give consideration to, you know, how they are treating themselves, you know, what kind of product they're using, and ensure that the product that they're using is as safe and as effective as possible. So for people who are using Herbatint, I mean, it could be somebody who's looking to cover some gray hair. It could be somebody who's looking to add some kind of tonal balance. Maybe they want a little bit of a cooler effect to their hair, and they use sort of an ash color to accommodate that, or they're looking for some golden tones, or they're looking for a bit of a mahogany kind of a tone or a copper tone. They're ways that you can use the Herbatint hair color to achieve either one of those goals. So it's one of the unique things about Herbatint is that you can sort of mix and match colors and you can achieve any kind of effect that you would typically in a salon. And in fact, the Herbatint website actually has a color finder where you can go online and it'll walk you through sort of step by step you know, what you're trying to accomplish and therefore what color or combination of colors you should use. So whether you're looking to just cover your gray hair, whether you're looking to create some kind of an interesting effect, the Herbatint hair color can do it. It can do it safely and it can do it effectively.
So I wonder what you would say to women who get their hair colored in a salon. What would be your advice to them? Because a lot of people I know, they go in and get their hair colored and, you know, are kind of at the mercy of whatever products that salon may be using.
Yeah, well, you know, we do have customers that will purchase the hair color from us and then take it into their salon and say, can you please use this color?
Yeah.
You know, we have a number of salons in a couple of different cities around the country that use Herbatint. We probably have 300 or 400 different salons that are regularly using Herbatint as a hair color in their salon for their customers that are sensitive. So
yeah.
We certainly wish there were more that were doing that, right? But I think that, you know, picking the color that you think you'd like to use and taking it in and having a professional apply it is not a bad idea.
Well, after this conversation, knowing that these chemicals are so toxic and potentially carcinogenic, and, you know, women get their hair colored maybe every 6 to 8 weeks or maybe 10 weeks, 12 weeks, depending on the growth. But, you know, it's several times a year. This is really important information, and I certainly encourage women after listening to our conversation not to go and use any commercial hair coloring that your salon may be offering. I think going in with your own little container, your, you know, bottle of Herbatint would be the way to go, because why would you want to have any toxic ingredient put on your hair? Why would you even
be
around those chemicals?
You would be surprised at how receptive the colorists are in the salons to doing that. Most of them have a very good relationship with their clientele, and they want to keep that good relationship going. And if you go in with a request to use a particular hair color, then that's something that we're that they're generally glad to do. With Herbatint, we actually have a master colorist on staff, and she actually spends about half of her time dealing with consumer issues, but the other half of her time, she's providing technical guidance to salons around the country, because they may have certain questions about certain colors and how those work, and she's there to provide very substantive technical advice, not just to consumers, but to people who are professionals working in salons as well. And actually, if you go grab a box of Herbatint off the shelf, her phone number is on every box. A professional or you're a consumer, you have access to a bona fide master colorist.
You know, that just gives me some things to think about. I mean, salons that are using commercial shampoos and conditioners, which do have a lot of chemicals in them, they use commercial coloring products, they use a lot of hairspray. Those people who are working in the salon have a lot of exposure, as well as their clients. I was just reading, I have something here that was talking about the dangers of hairspray. So anyone using hairspray, you know you're breathing that stuff in as you're spraying it around your hair. But it actually has ingredients that are known to be incredibly toxic and carcinogenic. And there's according to the Centers for Disease Control, it is showing that certain ingredients like propylene glycol, which has been used in hairsprays, has cancer-causing properties. And the fragrances also are all chemicals. So, you know, when we talk about environments where we are being, made beautiful, getting our hair cut, getting ready to go out, we are actually being exposed to a tremendous number of chemicals that can have some serious consequences.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And actually, you bring up a very good point in terms of the colorists who are working in the salons, because they certainly, you go in, as you were saying, if you go in to have your hair colored every 6 weeks, you're exposed every 6 weeks. But the professionals who are in the salon doing this on a day-to-day basis, they're exposed every single day. And our current master colorist used to work with a lot of those conventional products, and she ended up suffering some very severe health issues. That is what drove her to become an advocate for Herbatint, because she was out of commission for about a year, and she discovered Herbatint, and that was the product that essentially saved her career. And so she's been working with Herbatint ever since, it is a real challenge for those salon professionals who have to be in there day in and day out, exposed to all of these chemicals.
And that includes the manicures, because the polishes and all the different products that are used in a salon are so dangerous. So there's been high incidence of miscarriages in women who work in those environments, and other health issues, breathing issues. So they are actually a very toxic ingredients, and I certainly encourage people to find salons that are using more organic products, that have an awareness for health of their customers and also their employees. It's one of those
areas. Those are out there, and
those
are available, but it's difficult to fight against the power that some of these larger companies have that are sort of embedded in the industry. So this is sort of we could have sort of a grassroots effort here to try to move more and more of the products that are more natural, safer, and effective into the salon industry.
You know, I actually have had patients who have worked in a salon. And some of them are manicurists, some of them have just worked as a there's a, you know, someone who's been trained, but many of them have had serious problems, serious health problems. I see it. I see the people, the women primarily, who have had either miscarriages or difficulty conceiving, and women who've, you know, who've had a long career in the industry with some serious health problems and skin problems, skin sensitivities, as I was saying, breathing problems, you know, hormonal imbalances. So I know it can be a very toxic environment. And, you know, we just need to gain this awareness for ourselves and to share it with people in our lives and the professionals in our lives to make them aware that there are options and that you want a safe working environment. You don't want to be filled with a space that has all these toxic chemicals.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I know that the folks at Herbitent, they have a brand new facility that they're operating in, and those types, they've virtually eliminated any kind of environmental hazards associated with working in a traditional manufacturing environment.
Yeah. I'd love to see everybody walking into their salon with an Herbitent container package and, you know, asking their hair colorist to be using that product. That would be so great, you know. So you want
to we're glad to help anybody who would like to do that. We're more than glad to help.
So in the literature I received from you, it also talks about you're the only hair coloring product in the world that has a B Corp certified acknowledgement. I'm not sure what that means. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, this is I think this is really important, and I think that there's going to become a growing need that people are going to have to be working with companies that they can trust. And I think that in a day and age when people are becoming increasingly distrustful of what they hear and what they see, and they don't know, you know, it's difficult for them to make a decision about what products they should be purchasing, the B Corp certification becomes something of really extraordinary importance. So let me tell you a little bit about what that means. So a B Corp, which essentially is short for Benefit Corporation, it's a company that has vowed to use its business as a force for good. And in very short words, most companies are concerned about what they return to the shareholders. B corporations are concerned about what they return to the stakeholders, okay? And the stakeholders certainly include the shareholders, but they include the workers. They include the community. They include the environment. They include the type of governance that the company is involved in. So what it does is it identifies a company as being committed to using business as a force for good, and there's actually an assessment that a company has to go through, very rigorous standards, to prove that it is using its business as a force for good. And I can use a couple of examples here relative to either Herbitent or our own company as well. So you know, how you treat your workers and the work environment becomes very important. Have you actually codified that you're paying, say, a living wage instead of the minimum wage? The living wage is a published figure that the government produces that lets you know what somebody needs to make in order to live not above the poverty line, but to live a comfortable, reasonable life. And in New York, for example, that's a little bit more than double the federal minimum wage. Are you involved in your community? Are you buying your goods locally? Are you involved in social causes in your local community? If you take a look at some of the work that we do here at BioForce USA, you know, we contribute a minimum percentage of our profits to local charitable organizations, and those are organizations that support, you know, drug addiction or their food pantries or after-school programs for at-risk youth family visits for incarcerated prisoners and lots of different sort of socially responsible types of things. And we're more concerned about doing that than we are returning a profit to the shareholder. So from a governance perspective, you know, how diverse is your leadership team? You know, is it, you know, do you have a broad range of perspectives that are represented, you know, either on your board or in your company leadership? So are you doing things that are good for the environment? Are you using green energy sources? Are you are you doing things like converting to LED lighting to reduce energy usage? So these are all things that a B Corp is committed to doing, and that a B Corp can actually document that they've done this stuff, and then when they go through this rigorous testing and assessment, they're given a score, and if they are above a certain level on that score, then the people that do B Corp certification will certify you. So. This was all started not that long ago, 6-7 years ago. Patagonia was one of the first companies to become certified. Ben & Jerry's is an example that everybody knows of a company that's B Corp certified that has a very strong social mission. Dannon Yogurt is an example, is another company that people are familiar with. But it's also a number of small companies like Herbitant. That have gone through the process to become B Corp certified, and the feeling is that this is something that if we share with people what our mission as a company is, okay, that we're not in it just for profit, but we care deeply about the people that work for the company, that we care about the community that we work in, that we care about the environment. You know, these are all values that everybody can embrace, and we know that we want to do those things individually. But it can be really powerful when a company takes up that approach as well. So I think increasingly this B Corp certification will become a real stamp of approval for what the company stands for, and will give people the confidence that they need to know that they're doing business with a good company, right?
Well, I didn't even know about that. That's really fascinating. So if companies and corporations that are really ethical, socially aware, as they should be. I mean, it should be how businesses operate, you know, out in the world, because, if you create an environment that's responsible, first of all, you become more successful. Your employees like you. You're doing good in the world. You feel good about yourself. You're not there
Absolutely.
Out of greed. I love it. I love that. I didn't know about B Corps. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that I think, I know I sleep pretty well at night, and I wake up in the morning looking forward to coming to work and, with a smile on my face, knowing that the work that we do here, has a broad impact, and the employees do appreciate that. We give our employees an opportunity to have input into the organizations that we support. Almost half of the local charitable social services organizations that we support are the direct result of employees recommending that particular institution for our support. So they love being involved in that way. When they're talking to people about who they work for, they have a lot of pride in the fact that they can talk about the things that we do, not just the products that we sell, although they're very proud of those also, because all of the brands that we represent here have those same attributes. So. As you've noted, Herbitant is actually the only hair color company that is B Corp certified.
Oh, that's that's fascinating. I don't often talk about particular products and companies, but I'm so impressed with Herbitant, and I know it's such an important issue and maybe not really discussed enough out there in the world of organic world. So, I thought it was really useful to have you come and share. But I think knowing the history of a product and knowing how it's run and the company's philosophy is always important because we can become very loyal to that company when we understand the bigger picture of what's going on.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to find that information out about a company. We, if you really think about it, how much do you know? If you were to take a look at the 20 items that you buy on a daily basis, most frequently, how can you really find out about, you know, what that company is doing and how it's treating its employees and what it does for the environment? It's not easy information to come by.
No. That's so interesting. So let's go back to talking about Herbatint, this natural, safe hair coloring option. Where can people get it? Is it available worldwide? Give us some more information for people who may be interested in wanting to try the product or start using it.
Sure. Well, there are probably, I would say, anywhere between 25 and 30 countries around the world where Herbatint is available. In North America, certainly it's available in Canada and in the United States. It's available in most European countries. It's available in Asia, in a number of Asian countries, and specifically here in the United States. It's available at most natural product stores, places like Whole Foods Market, of course, and or even some conventional stores. If you're in the northeastern or mid-Atlantic region of the United States, a conventional store like a Wegmans would carry that. People are increasingly purchasing products online, so Herbatint is certainly available online, both directly from the Herbatint USA website, but as well as some of the big sort of natural products internet companies like iHerb and Vitacost, as well as on Amazon. So it's really quite broadly available in a number of different places, whether you're a natural products retail shopper, whether you're located in a country outside of the United States, whether you are someone who enjoys shopping online. There are lots of different places where it's available.
So no excuse not to pick up a Herbatint product when you want to color your hair, right? Easily available.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
So this has been a great educational conversation for all of you who've been listening. We've been talking to Pierre Sousa, who is the CEO of BioForce USA, which brings in these products which are imported from overseas because they have been so committed to creating safe, natural, healthy options for hair coloring. And this is what our topic has been today, is the world of hair coloring and everything you didn't know but really do need to know when you're choosing a hair coloring product. So it's been such a delight having you on the show, Pierce. Thank you for all the great work you're doing and for being such an ethical company that we can really be behind and trust.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a great honor being able to speak with you and to your audience as well.
So thanks again, and to all of you listening, thanks for being with me today. As always, this show is really dedicated to empowering you with truthful information. And with truthful information, you can make the best decisions for you and your family, but without truthful information, you really just don't know what you're doing or what you're getting. So that's why this is such an important program and why I so appreciate you joining me every week to continue this learning, healing journey. And before I go, I always want to share with everyone to remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. So until next time, thanks for being with me and have a great week. Bye for now.